Luke chapter 2. Don't really have a title for this or anything. It's really just been a prayer. The Lord has been stirring in my heart as I've been thinking about. Just thinking about our church and thinking about going into a new year. And there's just been a prayer that's been stirring in my heart. There's been a few prayers. Probably we all can say that. But I just want to share it with you this morning. It's going to be looking again at something out of the Christmas story and talking about something that I've never talked about before. But I really sense it's the Lord this morning. So look with me at Luke chapter 2. And we're going to start with verse 8. So there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them. And they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angels a host, a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. It came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this great, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Let's pray. Father, I just pray that you would help me. Lord, just speak something that I really sense you have stirred in my heart, Lord, and let it just come out with simplicity. And Lord, let there just be a sensing, Lord, a sensing of the life of God, the heart of God in this word this morning, Lord. And Lord, I thank you for this church. I thank you for everyone that's here, everyone who's a part of it, God. I thank you for what you're doing in our lives, and I thank you for God, everything that you've destined us to be as a church, Lord. Father, I thank you for the life that is here. You have dug a well here. And I thank you for the life that is here, Lord. And we are very grateful, and we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Here we have the familiar but beautiful story of the shepherds watching their flocks by night. They are out on a quiet, lonely hillside just outside the little town of Bethlehem. They are swathed in darkness, except for maybe a few stars in the sky. And the shepherds are probably nestled by a little fire because of the night chill that's in the air. Then suddenly, out of nowhere, heaven opens. And they are immediately in the heavenly realm. The glorious splendor of heaven bursts all around them, and the choir of angels appear, and they are singing. And what a magnificent scene we have before us in the Word of God. And I really want us to capture the power of this moment. For 400 years, heaven has been sealed up, solid as brass. And there wasn't a power in all the earth that it could open the heaven. Kings couldn't open the heavens. Proclaimed prophets couldn't open the heavens. Religion, with all of its beautiful religious garb and piety, couldn't open the heavens. And in one moment of time, heaven opens, and the glory of it cascades over poor shepherds in a quiet field. Suddenly, heaven cracks, and the light of heaven, with all of its lighted glory, spills upon a quiet hillside. And for a brief moment of time, the lighted splendor of heaven spills upon a little patch of ground occupied by shepherds. And then out of this mouth of a majestic messenger, the word of God is suddenly pronounced over all the earth for all the ages to come. And I truly believe that this is the power of the gospel in our world today. I think about all the forces that have so many nations and people groups sealed up. There is like an invisible iron curtain surrounding them, and it looks so sealed. I think about the nations that are radically Muslim. I think about nations like Uganda and Haiti that are under the extremism of witchcraft. I think about the nations pawed in the hopelessness of poverty. But when the anointed ministry of the gospel comes, the simplest word from heaven can break through it all. The simplest word from heaven can touch someone's heart. Though I've never been to some of the radical Muslim countries in the world, I have heard miraculous testimonies by Pastor Carter and Brother Clendenin and other evangelists who testify to seeing multitudes of radicals turn to Christ through the preaching of the gospel. And I have heard missionaries share stories of one-on-one conversions that are no less miraculous. And this is the power of the gospel breaking through those iron curtains. And just let me add this. Sometimes these iron curtains can represent our own hearts. You know, there's been an area in my heart. I just want to get just personal for a moment. There's been an area in my heart that I've been holding on to for a long time because of fear. A fear of what it means to my life personally if I let God work in this area of my life and I have to change. You know, I've been holding on to an area in my heart in fear because, Lord, what is it going to mean to me personally if I have to change in this area? But you know what? The Lord, in His great patience, has brought me to a place where I finally want to change. Where I finally just want to let go of it and change. And divinely, so divinely, the Lord has caused me to see the change that's going to take place in my life this coming year because I finally let it go. I finally let it go. The Lord has showed me the changed man I'm going to be this time next year. I'm not going to be the same man I am today because the Lord in His patience has brought me to a place where I'm just finally ready to let it go. I'm not going to excuse it. I'm not going to justify it in my life. I'm not going to keep telling the Lord all the reasons why I should hold on to this area of my heart. I have a reason, Lord. You know, the Lord, He can just bring you to those places. And sometimes it takes a long time to get there. But He can bring you to places where you're just finally ready to let it go. And when you let it go, He can change us in that area. Amen. He can change us in that area. And to me, that is the power of the gospel. But there's something else that I want us to see this morning. Something else that's really on my heart, I believe, from the Lord. I want you to look with me at verse 9. It says, "And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid." I really want to emphasize verse 9. It says, "The angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them." Suddenly, these shepherds find themselves in a supernatural moment. They find themselves in a glorious moment. I mean, you have heavenly light and splendor filling the sky. You have a choir of angels singing with such beauty and magnificence. You have a heavenly, majestic angel speaking the word of God. Suddenly the natural is consumed by the supernatural. Nothing of the natural can be seen. It is absolutely consumed by the supernatural. How glorious it is. But beloved, something else happens here. I want you to see this. Look with me at verse 15. It says, "And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven." Stop. That's all I want to read. "And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven." So what else happened? It all went away. It all went away. The glorious light, the choir of angels, the messengers in the sky, as quickly as it had come, it was gone. It was only for a short moment, and the shepherds found themselves back in the natural and all that means. And beloved, this can remind me of church services sometimes. Often on Sundays we come to church and the glory of the Lord comes in a glorious way. Suddenly there is a glory upon the worship. Man, I felt the glory upon the worship this morning. I just want you to know that, man. My heart was so moved this morning by the presence of the Lord. Suddenly there is a glory upon the worship, and there is a glory upon the song specials, and heaven opens as the minister opens the Bible, and there is a word full of life and glory. In our hearts, we just know we are in a glorious moment. We are in a supernatural moment. We are in a life-changing moment. But yet when we roll out of bed on Monday, there aren't anointed choirs and there aren't anointed specials and ministers of the word. Now it's my job. It's my boss. It's the people I work with. It's the environment I live in. It's my family. And it's the problems and the pressures of life. Amen. I always like to say when Joseph was tied up behind the back of a donkey on his way to Egypt, there was no choir coming up behind him, keeping his heart lifted up in encouraging songs. And there was no preacher walking beside Joseph saying, Joseph, don't get discouraged. Don't get discouraged. Hear what the glory of the word says. There wasn't a preacher to walk alongside him, giving him encouraging messages. It was just him and God and life. Amen. But here's what I want us to understand. Regarding the shepherds, their supernatural moment served a purpose. Though the splendor and glory and the angels went away, it left something. It caused a hope and an expectation to come alive in the heart. It caused a knowing to come in the heart of these shepherds that said, I don't understand it all, but I do know this. Somehow God has come, and my life is going to be changed forever. Now, beloved, there is a prayer in my heart for this coming year. And it's simply this. As a church, throughout the coming year, Lord, let us know the supernatural glory of the Lord. The glory of His presence. The glory of His power. We would know the supernatural ministry of the Holy Spirit. But it would serve a greater purpose than just having a blessed Sunday meeting. People would walk back into the normalcy of their daily lives with a hope and an expectation that God has come to work something in my life. It doesn't matter what is going on in my everyday life, the problems, the adversity, the hostility. There is a hope and an expectation in my heart that God is going to do something in my life. You know, often people wander in the churches in desperation looking for some kind of hope. And how wonderful it is when they suddenly find themselves in the midst of anointed worship, in the midst of anointed prayer, in the midst of an anointed word from heaven that speaks right into their situation. What a glorious and powerful time it is when they suddenly find themselves in the midst of something supernatural and they know it's supernatural. And let our prayer be that people would experience this in our church and then they would walk out envisioned by what God wants to do in their lives. Very simple prayer, but it's really in my heart. God, when we have glorious worship, when your presence just comes and in our sanctuary, suddenly heaven kisses earth. Lord, let it just have a greater purpose than having a blessed service. Let people walk out envisioned in their everyday life, in their everyday problems, in their everyday adversity. Let them walk out envisioned that in the midst of it all, God has come and He wants to do something in my life. Beloved, let me ask us a question. Do we remember the first time we walked into a church with an open heart? Maybe we were desperate for a changed life. Or for the first time we were really seeking truth. Or now wondering what is the purpose of life? What's it all about? But we went into that church with an open heart. Maybe we went with a friend or a family member or by ourselves. But for the first time, we went seeking something. Do we remember how something that is not of this world stirred our heart? Do we remember how we felt the very first time we truly sensed the glory of God's presence? Do we remember how we felt the first time the anointed word spoke right into our life? Do we remember the first time our heart was so stirred by worship because the glorious presence of Christ came? Do we remember the glory of those first time moments? Let our prayer this year be, Lord, send them. Send them that are desperately seeking a changed life or seeking for truth or wondering what life is all about. And when they come, let them so find themselves enveloped by the glory of Christ in His church. Let them be touched by a glorious worship. Let them be touched by glorious faith-filled prayer. Let them be touched by the glory of the Word of God. And let them depart in vision by what You desire to do in their lives, Lord. Amen. You know, I begin to reflect on my own life of those first time moments. The first time I heard a sermon, or the pastor or the preacher actually spoke right into my heart, and I knew it was God. How my heart felt. I remember the first time walking into a little church with my heart open because I was seeking something. I've been raised in church all my life. This is the first time I went into a church with a heart that was open. And I remember the worship began. And suddenly the supernatural glory of the Lord came. And I walked out of that church saying to myself over and over and over again, I know God is alive. I know God is alive. I felt His life when the people began to sing. I felt His life when the man stood behind and began to speak the word of God. I felt His life. And you know, sometimes we can, somewhere in our Christian walk, we can lose that. And then somewhere, instead of letting our hearts be touched by glorious worship, we can start criticizing the worship. And I remember the times when I was first saved and the Word of God, the preacher used to so touch my heart. But you know what? We can get so familiar with that, that instead of hearing the Word, we can start criticizing the man preaching the Word. The Word doesn't touch our heart anymore. And now there's just a critical spirit about everything with church, the worship and the preaching and the preacher. But I began to reflect on those first moments. And how glorious they were because the glory of God was upon everything. I even begin to pray for revival in my own life. I don't want to sit in a pew criticizing the preacher in my heart when he's unveiling the glory of the Word of God. And God, I don't want to sit in my heart and criticize the worship and the songs when it's so obvious the glory of God has come. Do you remember the glory of those first moments in your life? Let the prayer of our heart simply be this. Lord, send them. Send them. And let them be enveloped by the glory of Christ and His church. And let them walk out of here envisioned. Whatever they're going to walk into. Whatever environment. Whatever adversity. Whatever hostility on the home front that they have to walk into when they leave church. Let them walk out supernaturally envisioned. It doesn't matter the hostility of my environment. God wants to do something in my life. Question. When the shepherds journeyed to Bethlehem, what did they find? Look with me at verse 16. Verse 16. It says, and they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. So they found the baby lying in a manger. What a wonderful picture of peace. What a wonderful picture of comfort. What a wonderful picture of innocence. But it is a picture of something else, isn't it? It is a picture of weakness and dependency. There's nothing more frail and dependent than a newborn baby. And beloved, let this be our prayer. When God's glory comes and fills our sanctuary and hearts, people would leave with such a hope that in my weakest places, in those places where I truly sense my need for God and I am so dependent upon Him, God is able to work something in my life for His honor and His glory. Beloved, if people walk out of our services with anything, that is the biggest thing I hope they walk out with. That even in the places where I'm most weak, even in the places where I most struggle, even in the places where I truly know how much I need God, God can work in these places and do something divine, miraculous. You know, I think about how weak baby Jesus appeared compared to the world that surrounded him, compared to the power of Rome, the grandeur and the gallantry and the might of Rome paraded and flaunted itself throughout the little land of Israel. I think about the arm of religion, the priests and the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the whole religious system. How weak baby Jesus was in comparison. But the scriptures say that the child Jesus grew up before the Lord as a tender plant. The word tender speaks of being fragile, speaks of being delicate. The word tender speaks of something that is easily broken. A tender plant can be easily crushed underfoot. It can be destroyed by a simple frost. But God would keep him. But God would not only keep him, God would cause him to grow. Isaiah 53 verse 2 also says, "For he shall grow up before him as a root out of dry ground." Now think about this. The imagery the prophet is displaying is one of parched desert ground. Ground that hasn't seen rain in years. Hard and cracked under the blistering desert sun. And yet out of this dry, dead, barren ground that offers no nourishment at all, there is a tiny plant that's beginning to grow. And the question is, why can that tiny plant grow in such dry, dead, barren conditions? Because this verse says, he grows up before the Lord. In other words, he gains his nourishment not from the earth around him, but he gains his nourishment from his contact with the life of God. In my prayer this coming year, people would walk out of our services with such a confidence and a hope in God that no matter how sinful and barren and lifeless the world I live in may be, I can go forward and grow and become great in the things of God because God is my source. I have a source that the eyes of people cannot see, and that is God. I am a branch connected to an invisible vine. I am a branch connected to a heavenly vine, and that is God. And because of it, I will be fruitful. I will be a fruitful branch because God is my source. That is my prayer. I'm really expecting the Lord this year to move in our services. I really think there's going to be moments when heaven is going to come and meet us right here. And we're just going to know we're in a supernatural moment. But God, let it serve a greater purpose than just giving us a blessed service. Let people walk out of here envisioned by what God can do in our lives. Amen. When mothers walk out of here on their way back to homes of abusive husbands, and the alcohol's there and the drugs is there and all that's there, God, in the midst of all that, let them have a vision in their heart of what God can do in my life. Amen. Stand with me this morning.